A really neat thing, every time that you proclaim the Lord's death, you also proclaim the devil's defeat. Paul said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So we know that if there's something, there's an antidote to it. So if we do discern the body of Christ, there's health and healing involved in this. So we're going to look at this bread and see Jesus in this bread. God gave particular instructions on how to make the bread for the communion. And it's called matzah bread. The church traditions come up with some little rice wafers, but you can't see the type and shadow of Jesus in that. This matzah bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body is absolutely without sin. Perfect in every way. Incorruptible. Also, this bread has been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. Sometimes if you have some hurts deep inside of your heart, ask Jesus to take care of this and take the communion. Let him heal you from the inside out. Also, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Certainly Jesus was pierced when he was on the cross. A Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side. But he was pierced in a lot of other places too. In his hands and in his feet and in his head. Everywhere that Jesus shed his blood, he got redemption for us in some area. Find out where he shed his blood and find out what he gained back for you in that redemption. Also, this bread is slightly burned. That's good news for us. The judgment that was meant for us, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross, so that we can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And his body was broken. We're taking this for our healing and our health. Jesus shed his blood. And it was a messy sacrifice. He did not spill his blood. That would be an accident. He did it on purpose. He shed his blood. Not only did his blood remit all of our sins, but we have protection and deliverance in his blood. The New Testament promises are sealed in for us by his blood. We're washed by his blood. And because of his blood, we can stand in the presence of God, justified, in right standing, as if nothing ever happened, because of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. When you follow the directions, communion is fun. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 2, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us. He shows us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us. Now we know that we can confidently open your Bible and we can learn of Jesus as he said. He said to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. We know now that because of these things that you've given us, we can learn more of who Jesus is and who we are in him. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I think sometimes Christmas has become a distraction. You ever hear that old hippie song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy"? You're supposed to be that way every single day. I think people get happy at Christmas time. And then the rest of the time, they're worried about kids. They're worried about finances. They're worried about jobs. They're worried about their health. They're worried about the economy. They're worried about the lunatics in Washington. You know, I don't care who's in Washington. Jesus is Lord and King. Amen? Amen? He's got this thing. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." That did not stop. That's a proclamation from your heavenly Father that goes on and on and on. As far as he is concerned, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Did you know that the phrase "fear not" is mentioned one time for each day of the year? Fear not! Unfortunately, people get brave for a little bit or happy for a little bit, and then they spend the rest of the year in fear. It shouldn't be. You know, Jesus was born. Praise God, we celebrate the birth of Christ. You know, he grew up, and one of the first sermons he preached, we find it in Matthew chapter 5. It's pretty cool. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth." Why was he saying these things? Blessed are you. He said, he was letting these people know that the Christ, the Son of the living God, was amongst them. The anointed one was here now. He's here now. Praise God. And he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Get happy. Quit worrying about every little thing. You know, something about worry. Look at Matthew chapter 6, since we're right there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what shall you put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Do not worry. Don't be over anxious about anything. Don't be fretful. You bet. Alcoholics Anonymous seems to have a better grasp on that than most of the church. Literally, don't be fretful. Don't worry. Don't live your life in fear. Let's go back to, just don't even turn there, but Job. You know, he was an interesting guy. He had a covenant with God. And he evidently would do these sacrifices with God. He said, I'm not going to read it exactly. He said, I think my kids are being idiots. And he kept doing these sacrifices. He's operating his covenant out of fear. And then one day he said, everything come tumbling down. His kids died, his tents crashed, everything went haywire. His wife went squirrely. And he said, that thing that I feared has come upon me. What was happening with Job? He was taking thought, saying. Remember, Jesus said, take no thought, saying. Here's the thing about thoughts. Thoughts will come and go. Some of them may even kind of persist in hanging around. What happens to most people is they end up playing mental basketball with themselves, and they try to do positive thinking. That doesn't work. You have to beat that thought down with the words of your mouth. How are you going to do that? You're going to say what God says about that situation. See, when you get born again, your spirit gets born again. And the Holy Spirit moves in, and He does not live in a condo. You know, the devil does not live downstairs and the Holy Spirit upstairs. No, it's all 100% Holy Ghost. No one else. He owns your spirit. Your soul did not get born again. That's your mind, will, and emotion. The Bible tells us that we have to renew our mind to the Word of God. Amen? So the devil has no access to your spirit. But he does have access to your soul. That's where these crazy ideas come from sometimes. You know, you never had an original thought in your life. Somebody else has already thought it for you. So you're laying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and the devil comes up and says, you got those Mongolian toe warts and you ain't gonna last 2 weeks. So what are you gonna do? You're gonna get up, go run down to the coffee shop and tell your friend, I got the Mongolian toe warts, I'm toast. Take care of my cat when I kick the bucket? No! You're going to take that thought captive in the name of Jesus. You're going to cast it down in the name of Jesus. And you're going to say what God says about you. With the long life will He satisfy me and He will show me His salvation. Amen? Praise God. But you're not going to sit there and worry about it. Here's the thing about worry. It'll build up bigger, 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 bigger. You know, you'll make this mountain, you know. People have this habit of meditating on these problems till pretty soon they're pole vaulting over mouse turds. And it's just like you just got to get them to refocus them. Focus on Jesus. Get your eyes back on Jesus. And then walk through these troubles. Or fly over them like an eagle. Amen. But don't worry about it. You know verse 19? That chapter, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. On earth where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Allah said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is literally, what are we going to do about this? Philippians chapter 4:19. How are we going to not worry people's 401ks get demolished overnight? You just can't even imagine how many people I worked with that were supposed to be retired, but their 401k just vanished, just boom, overnight. Philippians chapter 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the result. Quit worrying. Did you know it's sinful and it promotes fear? It's a disease causing other ills. You know, there's people that worry themselves sick. Literally, they get sick. They worry so much, they lose their hair. You're over. You're clean. Don't worry about it. God, he's numbered the hairs on your head and He knows where each one of them fell out. He knows where they're all at. You're going to be okay. You know, you're going to have hair in heaven. Did you know that? Yeah, you're going to have hair. And it's not going to be gray. But look, He doesn't want you to be worried. He wants every day to be Christmas to you because it is. He's here. He's alive. I think that gets lost. Look over here to verse 22. It says the light of the body is eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Literally, you're not going to serve God and money. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 real quick. You know, something about the cross. It made all the difference in the world. Verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, you're just. You're the just. When you're born again, you are the just. Because the Bible tells us that you got justified freely by His grace. When God raised Jesus back to life, you got justified. Here's the good news. You can't be justified until you've been judged. Your sins have been washed away. They've been judged on the cross and washed away. Now you are justified freely by His grace. You know something? You need to quit worrying. You're borrowing trouble that you cannot pay back. You're brooding over what may not happen and creating trouble, misery, and death. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Jesus did for you on that cross. Amen? Look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? You know, sometimes you need to just look back on your life. You need to just stop, turn around. Have you ever starved to death? Have you ever froze to death? My wife thinks she came pretty close when we lived in Wyoming, but she made it. You know, every fear basically goes to a fear of death. It's rooted in a fear of death. Death is a mystery to man because we were not designed to die. When Adam was in the garden, he was supposed to spread that garden out, be fruitful and multiply. And he was supposed to still be multiplying today. But he ate of that fruit. And God had to remove him from the garden, not because God was mad at him, but because the tree of life was in there. And he couldn't let Adam eat of that tree of life and live forever in a sin state. You know something, you need to quit worrying. It's a burden that's borrowed from tomorrow, and others who should carry it. It's a weight that kills prematurely. It's mental and physical suicide. You know, how many people are running around on all kinds of medication to keep them from worrying? That's a major industry in the United States. They give people all kinds of different pills. Something happens, and they start worrying. So then they should run and find their pastor, if they have one. Say, what do I do? And go through this. But they run to the doctor. And the doctor says, here, I got these pills. You know, they're just legalized drug dealers, is all they are. Mm-hmm. Pill pushers. And here's a clue for you. All them pills are made out of broken creation. You know, Jesus rubbed mud in a blind guy's eyes one time, and nothing changed. And he said, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means the sent one. You go to Jesus. That guy went washed in the pool of Siloam, and he started seeing. Jesus demonstrated that creation cannot fix creation, but redemption can. Amen. He's the Redeemer. Redemption can fix you if you let it. Amen? Look at verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You know, one time I told somebody, you know, that I had 20 guys working for me in the oil field, and you know, I was kind of stewing around. And they said, what are you worried about? I said, everything's running smooth. And I said, I get paid to worry. How foolish was that? You know what? You need to quit worrying. It's a grave digger, and it has no sympathy. It's needless, and it wastes time and effort that should be spent on worthwhile things. It's a robber of faith, peace, and trust in a never-failing Heavenly Father. Do you know that? If you look at things through the eyes of faith, believing what Jesus did for you on that cross, you'll realize that you're seated far above all principality and power, might and dominion. You're seated far above all your problems, all your trouble. And then Jesus, the Bible tells us to cast our cares over onto Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen? I mean, you're going to stop worrying about it. One of the neatest stories I ever read was about this pastor. He had these three big orphanages that he took care of. And this guy come up to him and had this big food bill. Said, what are you going to do about this? I ain't going to do nothing about it. And he threw the bill in the trash can. Yeah, those are God's kids. I ain't worried about it. Well, the bill got paid. Another time, they didn't have any milk. So what are you going to do about this? I ain't going to do anything about this. These are God's kids. And the milk truck tipped over right in front of the orphanage. They got the milk. You know what? You really need to quit worrying. It's a stumbling block to others. You know something? When people are worried, people around them get worried. I've had to take people out of the way and say, you need to just knock this off. You're operating in fear, and it's rubbing off on my employees, and you're going to stop it, and you're going to stop it right now. If you can't, then just stay away from my people. Amen? It's a stumbling block. It's a disgrace to God, and it should never be indulged in by Christians. Anxiety over what is nothing today and even less tomorrow in the eyes of faith. You need not worry. There were two sisters. They were worried and they called for Jesus and said, our brother, your friend Lazarus is sick. So Jesus walked about his business, kept taking care of whatever he's doing. He didn't get in a hurry. And his buddies, the apostles, the great men of faith, said, hey, your buddy is sick. Ain't you going to do something? Well, 4 days later, he showed up. And the sister come out there and said, if you had been here, you could have done something. But he's in the tomb now. He's in there 4 days. He stinks. He stunk when he was on earth. He sure stinks now. That's pretty late. You know, we get these dates and numbers and times wrote in our minds. You know, we got to have this done by this time. We got to have this by this time and this by this time. And, you know, all these things we got to meet, all these things we got to get done. And then somebody comes up and says, it's too late. You know, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. That's pretty late. But Jesus said, come forth. And he come boogieing on out of there. He was alive. It's not too late for God. Amen? Did you know that God is never late?
Never.
He's never late. We need to just stand in faith. Yeah. I don't care if you have to cast your worry over onto him 100 times a day. Cast it over onto him. He's the only one that's man enough to carry it. Who are you, you turkey? You can't carry the whole world on your shoulders. Only Jesus can. Look at verse 32 here. We'll get her wrapped up here. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, verse 31 says, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Quit worrying. You're anticipating troubles which seldom come to those who trust God, and you're living like an orphan without a heavenly father. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. You kind of need to see this one. This is one of those things that happened to you when you got born again. Of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. God has given you this whole Bible full of promises for you. And the only way you're going to get them is to receive them. Remember, the Bible says that you've been seated at the right hand of God. When you're sitting down, you're not working. You can't earn the promises of God because they're paid for by the shed blood of Jesus. And if there is something that you happen to be so talented that it might be more valuable than the shed blood of Jesus, let me know. But until then, you better sit down and start sitting by faith. When you learn to sit by faith, you'll be able to walk by faith. And then you can go on farther. But you have to first learn to sit by faith. I mean, you're going to have to receive the new creation reality. Amen? So don't worry. Don't worry. Look at Philippians. Well, I got one more. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I know y'all are hungry. I made a brisket, some ribs. My wife made some etouffee. I'm going to go throw some shrimp on the Barbie here in a little minute. We got all kinds of dessert, salads. It's going to be fun. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's our Christmas. There's our Christmas. Rejoice in the Lord always. Every day. Every day is Christmas. Every day. Not just the 25th of December. Every day. Every day is a wonderful day. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Praise God and don't worry. Amen. When you're focused on Jesus, you're focused on the answer. And when you're focused on the answer, the problems are not going to be as big as what you may build them up in your mind in your private meditation time. You know, when you suddenly wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and you're worried, you just don't know how you're going to figure it out. Just don't know how it's going to happen, how it's going to get there. And you focus on that problem, focus on that problem. And then you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you're worried. Stop it. Meditate on the Word of God, not your problems. Amen? Talk to your problems, not about your problems. And you'll have to get the Word of God in your heart so you can get it in your mouth so you can speak to that mountain. Command that thing to be removed. Amen? Well, praise God. Father, we thank you for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. The one man that was born to die. And he did it for us. Father, we thank you for everything that he's doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, his saints. And we thank you for everything that he will do for us when he makes our salvation complete in him. Father, we thank you for this. And we thank you for the food that has been brought to us. We bless it in the name of Jesus and we receive it sanctified by your word in our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, everybody. We got a lot of food to eat and everybody come back and have some food and some fellowship.